So, but there's two sides to every story, so, you know, we can debate those items if we need to.
So I guess the bottom line is they've done what they are required to do by city code, and, you know, our job as a planning commission is to look at that and see if it meets our code, if it's, if there's any issues, and so.
Yeah, and that's the last part of it too, is the city, the code is here to protect all sides, the city, the applicant, the neighbors. Sometimes the applicant doesn't like it, sometimes the neighbors don't like it, sometimes even you don't like it. But it does protect us from when neighbors come and say something, it also protects the neighbors from the applicant proposing something that's way out in left field.
Yeah.
So, a lot of times we all don't like it, but that's what we have to go by.
Yeah. All right, so with that.
I do have a comment, when we come in these meetings, it's not that we're opposed to things, we're just here to learn about them. So, when you say that we're here, as soon as we come in, you know, it's not true.
Well, it just sounds like Leslie was opposed to stuff, maybe you weren't.
Well, no, I mean, we're all here to learn, and, you know, I don't like the, you know, the insinuation that when we walk through, it's like a thing, like it's not.
Okay, so commissioners, any further questions, are we ready for a motion, Kelly?
So I kind of have a comment and a question. I think this is a terrific plan use, he could have put much higher density in there, so I think he's done a nice job with trying to put something together here, I think that's terrific. And I have a question to some of Leslie's comments, I did read through this. I was the first person to move into Raymond Farms. I have lived in so much noise, so much dust, so much noise, so much dust that goes till 8 and 9 o'clock at night, starts early in the morning, six, sometimes 7 days a week. We have to finally, like, we will literally walk over to a house and say, it is Sunday, you are not allowed to work today. Leave. I mean, I've done that on a holiday. 7 a.m., I said, you can't work today. It's a holiday. Go home. I can't take it anymore. I need a day off. So I completely understand your points about noise. Is there any way to have a restriction to say they can work between these and these hours and that is it?
There is a restriction.
This is a question for Michael.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Like, I agree with a lot of your points here. You know, is there a way? I mean, I've wondered, isn't there like a noise restriction level? Because sometimes, let me tell you.
Yeah, all of that's in the code. There's
we've exceeded it.
Restrictions
so,
for construction time, and then there's no noise limitations also.
So, like, what are the restrictions for time?
Yeah, so for time, for the decibel limit, it's 55 decibels during the night. So that's 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. And then it goes up to 75 decibels during the day, and that's measured at the property line. There's also construction hours limitations. So the building department has it specifically for when somebody's constructing a home. And if there's a problem with one, you'd want to let our building official know, or the city know, and we could talk to our building official to make sure that, you know, we don't have any more inspections done on that property if they're not going to be in compliance with the code. And so there's ways for us to control that, but we need to know about it in order to enforce it. If it's a holiday, we're not usually not going to realize that something's going on.
I take care
and then
of
also when they're building the infrastructure, there are also construction time limits. And I think it's at 7 a.m. for construction of the
7 a.m., 6 p.m.
7 to 6. It's really hard to wake
it's
up.
Either 7
beep,
a.m.
beep,
mm-hmm.
beep, and it goes all day long. So that's what I get. I mean, I feel that you're okay with what they're doing, but you just want to make sure that the setbacks are proper, that things aren't going to block your views, that you're not going to listen to 3 years of a lot of crazy noise that makes you want to pull your hair out every day. So that's what I get. They're not, I don't think, complaining that something's happening here. They just want to make sure as neighbors surrounding this property that there's consideration for the homeowners, and the noise level and the construction is very painful and it makes you want to go insane. So I guess that's my question too, is like, what can they do? Or maybe the Malinkas need to make sure that they will say ahead, hey, we're going to make sure that the people who are purchasing the property, when they begin, can they say, you know, you have to follow these. You have to follow these.
Well, that's the city's, the building
city.
Department's job, I think, to
make
city
sure
enforces
that
it.
Yeah, if there is a problem, let us know.
Well, I think the difference between this proposed development and everything else is the Malinkas are right in the middle of it.
So they'll be hearing it too.
Yeah.
We're leaving.
Any other questions or comments from the planning commission?
Michael, wouldn't that be an administrative act? I mean, some sort of, I don't want to use the word conditions, but some sort of guidelines for the hours and the days.
That's what we were just discussing.
Yeah.
It is already specified.
Yeah, it's already in place.
Right, but if there was going to be some modification of that, it would be administrative, not...
So it would require amending the code. Since this is not a conditional use permit, I think Paul set up with a conditional use permit. This is a permitted use. And so we just have to follow the guidelines in the code. And so that's set, and that's what we would enforce. If this were a conditional use, we could go in and try to mitigate noise type issues, but it is a permitted use.
So is the building department then the responsible party for supervising and making sure that those rules are being followed?
So
yes.
During installing infrastructure, it would be our engineering department. We have an engineering inspector that watches these closely. And then once we get the building going vertical on site with the homes, that would be our building department. If you have any questions, just call me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to move on. I'd like to call for a motion if somebody's prepared to give one.
I propose that we recommend approval for the preliminary and final approval of the 5-lot density reduction subdivision to be known as the Malinka subdivision. The proposal is on 5.2 acres and is located at 150 North, 100 East, and is in the R115 zone. With the additional findings that were, the possible findings that were presented.
Okay. We have a motion to recommend approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Let's start voting with Kelly.
Aye.
Can I just make a point of clarification,
sure,
too, that I think the proposed conditions, since we don't know what the water board is going to say, that the water board has to also weigh in on this project, and that the appropriate number of water rights or whatever are turned over to the city.
So that's who made the motion?
Travis.
Yeah.
So you add a condition that the water board
condition that the appropriate amount of water is presented and dedicated to the city per the water board's recommendations.
Okay, I think that's sort of in the process, but that's fine. And the second was Craig. Are you okay with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, voting begins.
Aye.
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 Okay, so that motion carries, and we're on to our final item. Midway, and by the way, thank you, public, for coming and sharing your comments. We appreciate it. And, you know, there's many things that were brought up that we just can't do. It's in the code. We can't change the code here. But hopefully, you know, the developer can work with you on some of those items. Midway City is proposing an amendment to Chapter 16.13.10, maximum height provisions for all buildings. The proposed amendment will review and potentially revise the maximum building heights for public buildings and churches / religious buildings. So, Michael?
All right, thank you. So I think last planning commission meeting, I reported in the liaison report that the city council had adopted a pending ordinance change, and it's specific to public buildings and religious building height. So our code, first of all, it had two contradictory height limits.
Hey, Michael, just one second. Could you guys take your conversation out into the hallway? Or okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry about that, Michael.
Oh, no problem. So we had two contradictory code languages. One said that for all buildings, you could go up to 35 feet, and then architectural elements could go up 50% higher, which would be 52.5 feet. And then we had a separate section of code specific to public buildings and churches. And the language is up in front of you, and I'll just read through it. It says, public buildings and churches may be erected to any height provided the building is additional foot of building height above the maximum height permitted. And so that would mean my church spires could go up to 52.5 feet, but then using this section of code, it really depends on how large the property is and what the setback is, which really left the height of a structure unknown based off of, you could have a fairly large property with a fairly tall structure. So let's talk about some examples of height. So Midway Town Hall is between 40 and 45 feet tall. Homestead Crater, on one side it's higher than the other, but kind of the average is about 50 feet.
You're talking about the crater itself, or?
Yeah, the crater from the base to where it rises up to the top, about 50 feet. One side's 57 feet, the other side just under 50 feet. Memorial Hill is approximately 200 feet in height. The proposed top of the spires for the Hebrew Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints Temple is about 180 feet. So that's, the roof is lower than that, but the two spires go up to about 180 feet, which is pretty close to the height of Memorial Hill.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so, kind of puts things into perspective, right?
Okay, thank you.
And so, using our current code language, and I ran out of time to really do a nice graphic. This is a whiteboard graphic. A 10-acre property, what was that?
I thought you did pretty good.
10-acre property is 60 by 60. Let's say there's
660 by 660,
correct. 30-foot setbacks all the way around in our hypothetical situation. You have a building in the middle that's 100 feet by 100 feet. The maximum height in that scenario would be 285 feet. And so that's a pretty tall building. Let's say the building is larger, same dimension, same setbacks, 200 feet. Basically, you're taking the difference from the minimum setback, and then you're adding the 35 foot to the distance. Come up with 235 feet is the maximum in this scenario. So that's really tall, and it really doesn't seem to match the vision in our general plan.
Unless it's a theater.
So with this, in other words, not that this would happen because things wouldn't line up quite this way, but if somebody found a commercial piece that was 10 acres square like that, they could build a 23-story building on it.
Yeah, and if they just put a church in a part of it, we would probably end up in a tough spot because then they could call it a religious building.
Yeah, okay.
And so it's really a loose code is what it comes down to. A lot of cities and counties have this type of code for religious buildings, and actually the Wasatch County has the same type of code, and it leaves things really open for height, and so that becomes a problem. And so we're really trying to look at what matches our vision for Midway, and just some of the seats planned in the general plan. So effective planning, preserve view corridors, for instance. That's one thing that we're interested in Midway, is trying to make sure we can see the mountains. Another thing is protect view corridors. This talks about a lot of things. Protecting the view corridors is listed in there. And then open space goes through and talks about open space. It says open space is unobstructed views of the mountains and ridgeland surrounding the valley. So we've really set the limit in almost every building in Midway is a 35-foot height limit. Then the architectural elements can go up, again, 50% higher to 52.5 feet, except for the resort zone, which has a height limit of 55 feet. That's based off of going through a visual analysis of the surrounding properties. And then you can still go up 50% above that for architectural elements in that zone. So really the resort zone and then public and religious buildings are the only things you can go above 35 feet in Midway. Before, we didn't have a height limit for commercial buildings on Main Street. We've taken that all the way down to 35 feet. So we've tried to really tie up those loose ends in the code. And let's say there is a religious building that comes in the future. They can always apply for a code text amendment and change the code. They would give us a proposal. We could take a look at it, see if it matches what we'd like to see. So it gives the city discretion to approve it or not at that point, go through that process. So it's not that this just stops everything, but it makes it so it's a legislative action to go above 35 feet. So nothing's a